Okay, we're going to jump into our series. And again, this is going to lead us up to Easter. Last week, we talked about what Jesus is. And the reason we're doing this is because I want you to be able to talk when you invite people to talk about Jesus. Because I think a lot of pastors, a lot of churches, if my opinion, is we make things way too complicated. Because Jesus is not complicated. It's easy. We needed something done for us we could not do ourselves. God sent Jesus to do it. It's that easy. We don't need to overcomplicate it. You heard me last week say it has cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can understand. And that's the way we need to talk about God. Last week we talked about Jesus being our friend, that you simply need to begin to know him and invite him to be your friend. We're going to hang our hat on this verse in 1 Corinthians 2. It says, you remember, friends, this is Paul writing, that when I came to you in God's sheer genius, he came to tell us something. The backstory to this is Paul's really telling the church in Corinth, hey, you're doing a lot of things right, but there's some things wrong and you're getting way too complicated, so simplify this. And he says to them, I didn't try to impress you with Paul's speeches and the latest philosophy. I didn't try to sound smarter than so that you're impressed. And he said, I deliberately kept it plain and began to talk about this. First, Jesus, who he is, and what he did. He is the what? The Son of God. And what did he do? He came for us and gave his life. It's that easy. He paid the price that we could never pay. Even for people who tell me, well, Clint, I'm an atheist and I don't know that I believe. I say, great, well, we're all on a journey. We're all walking, going one direction. The key is which way. You can tell me you don't believe all you want, and that's fine, that's your right, but it's either one way or the other. So we don't need to overcomplicate this because eternity is at stake. You know, Jesus says about himself, this is in John 10:10, it says, the thief's purpose, in other words, the devil, his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, hey, my purpose is, I came to give you everything you need. I came to give you life. Life more abundantly is what the New King James says. And we need to understand that. We need to understand this last line too, and I think I highlighted it here. That he is the shepherd, and the shepherd does what for us? Sacrifices. Who's the us? Let me just bring us all down a notch, okay? I think y'all are getting a little high and mighty. We're going to bring us all down. What are we in this verse? Sheep. Typically, a lot of you show and goats, right? Typically, they're what? Sheep are what? And don't say fluffy. Typically, they're fairly stupid. They're not the smartest. They follow crowds. That's why one dog can control a bunch of sheep. He gets them all going the same direction. They follow each other. And Jesus says, hey, I'm coming to be a shepherd because you need somebody to be a shepherd. You need somebody to perform those functions in your life and be over your life. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 100. It says, acknowledge the Lord that is God. He made us and we are his and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. That we belong to him. He created us. Why is this important? And here's why. We cannot do this on our own. I had somebody tell me a few years back, Clint, I think I figured it out. I think I can be good, and I think I can get myself to heaven. And I said, bro, that's just not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's one way. It's not hugging a tree. It's not saving the whales. Those may be noble things. It's not, you can be the perfect person, perfect behavior. You can be that kid in school that was perfect attendance, perfect grades, perfect everything. You know what? It's not getting you into heaven. That we have to have help. That we're open to the attack of the enemy. What does that mean? Without God, we're sitting ducks. It's wide open. Take the shot. Devil can just run right over us. The thing that stands between us and Satan is Jesus. The thing that saves us from what the enemy has planned for us is Jesus. The other side of this is that we are lost. It's funny living in Screven County when I explain this. When I explain this to people who live in other parts of the world, I actually had a guy in my office a few months ago, and I had my radio for police and fire on the desk, and I had it scanning the channels, and all of a sudden the radio keys up, and it's calling the sheriff's office. 911 calls to the sheriff's office. The sheriff dispatcher says, okay, go ahead. What is it? These are regular calls. There's a cow loose on and name the road. There's a sheep loose on. Why they call law enforcement to send them to go herd animals, I don't know. But it's, and when people from outside hear that, I'm like, really? Y'all have just cows wandering the road? Yeah. Well, what are these animals? They're lost. They're out of their normal containment. They're out of their normal where they need to stay to be safe. See, we're no different. We're lost. Whether you think you've got it all together or not, without Christ and somebody guiding your life and pointing your eternity to God, you're lost. It's just the fact of the matter. And when you're lost, you're then also this. You're also hungry. Because those, most of those animals depend on, especially you guys who show goats and sheep, you do what every day? You have to take them and feed them. You have to give them water. If you just pin them up and you never went back there again, more than likely, they're not going to make it because they're hungry. See, we're the same way, except the hunger in us is to get back to the one who created us, the one who guards our soul. Look what the Bible says. It says in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And if I encourage you maybe this afternoon to go read this, and read through Psalm 23, verse 1. And it begins to tell us, and I'm going to give it the rest of the verse in just a minute, but it begins to tell us all that he's done for us and who he is and who he really is, because I don't think we know. And before I give you the scripture, I'm going to give you a good example of a part of my life where I witnessed this, and I witnessed me making a decision based on something that wasn't true. See, we don't know what Jesus is. We don't know who Jesus is. And back when I was in college, I worked for a company that did networking, computer cables. For 4 years, that's what I did. I pulled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles of computer cable, put ends on hundreds and hundreds of miles. So, Jensen, I can identify what it means to work with your fingers in a big room all day long, putting thousands of little wires down into one spot. Well, one week, I got assigned to work with a guy named Dale. And when he was assigned to my team to work, and when he was on his way over, some of the other guys on my team, because I had my own crew, they said, he's hard to work with. He never says anything nice. He's mean, and he'll complain about everything. So we begin to work, and I spend a week in a room that's about the size of one of our offices with thousands of wires coming down in it. I've been working in it for weeks to get it all perfect and pretty and all the wires going the right way. Dale has not been there at all except for this. Now he's on our team. He walks in and says, I hope you're not done because that looks terrible. And then he walks out. I was a little offended. Like, I've been working hard on this. It'd be like anything, building a house or painting a car. You know, you think you got it all straight and somebody comes in and goes, or like yesterday, we go to Statesboro, and we're going to run over Statesboro. While we're there, we picked up all y'all's donuts, which you get a look from people when you walk out of Krispy Kreme with over 16 dozen donuts. People look at you funny. But on the way out to go over there, I'm just wearing some baggy shorts, a baggy T-shirt, and a hat. I'm tired. I've been working outside all day. And on the way out the door, Mabel says to me, is that what you're wearing? And I'm looking myself over, like, my fly is up, you know, did I have mismatched socks? Or she goes, you just kind of dress like Adam Sandler. I said, I'll take it. I don't think she meant it as a compliment. But it was kind of those judgment calls. And I remember with Dale, after that happened, I thought, you know what? I'm going to figure this dude out. So that day, we had about 20, after he said to me and hurt my feelings, on the way back, we're riding in the work van on the way back to the office, and I just began asking him questions. I'm determined to find out what's driving this guy, because everybody says he's mean. He's done nothing but been mean and bitter to me all day. So we're riding home, and I'm asking him, tell me about your family. Where do you live? How many kids do you have? All those things. And you know what? After about 30 minutes, when we got back to the office, as I got out of the van, he said, Clint, I need to tell you. He goes, your patch panel, which is what I was wiring, he goes, it looked great. I've done this a long time, and that looked great. He said, but people assume that I'm always going to say the worst, so I just kind of got in the habit of saying the worst. But that's not really who I am. See, I think we do the same to God. We do the same with Jesus. We assume who he is. He's not my shepherd, which is kind and cares for me. He's my ruler, and he's going to pound me into paste, and he's mean, and he's angry. And that's just not who the Bible says Jesus is to us. The Bible tells us that Jesus is, and now we can read this about our shepherd in Psalm 23. He says, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. Anybody tired? Anybody aggravated this morning because it took an hour? Whoever's in charge of taking the hour away, stop. We can figure it out. Going out there on the internet to the world, somebody will see this. Stop messing with the time change. But it says he renews my strength. He guides me along the right path. Why? Because we go on the wrong one. He brings through me honor to his name. In other words, he can use me to do something for him. Verse 4, even when I walk through the darkest valley. Now, we stop right there, and I want you to raise a hand on this. And anybody felt like you have stood in that dark valley? Like when the lights are out? I tell the story of the first time I ever trained with the fire department, and they put a hood over my face and threw me in a hot, smoky building. That was the dark valley. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know how to get out. I just knew it was hot, and if I didn't get out of here, it was going to be bad. A lot of us feel that way. But look what it says. I will not be afraid. Why? Because the dark valley doesn't mean you're there alone. The dark valley means he's right there beside you. A shepherd goes with the sheep when they're in danger. He doesn't just back off and say, oh, yeah, good luck. There's some wolves out there, but I'm just going to back up and let y'all figure it out. You know, if only one or two of you die, that's okay. Just like as a father, I have two kids. If Melanie came to me and said, hey, one of our kids is gone, I'm not going to go, cool, we're batting 50-50. Right? But a lot of us act like that's what God does. No, the Bible says he leaves the 99 and goes what? After the one. What? Sheep. He goes after it. Look what it says in verse 5. Because you're hungry, remember? You prepare a feast for me, even when I don't deserve it. Even when people are trying to take it from me. That you honor me by anointing my head with oil. In the Old Testament, the anointing oil stood for the presence of God. When they used to say, we're going to anoint your head, we're used to kind of modern times, it's like a little dabble, do you? That's not what they used to do. They used to take it by the jar and dump it over your head, and the point was that it completely cover you. So this is saying, God, I'm with you. God's saying, I'm with you, I'm everywhere, I've covered your body and protected you. It says, my cup overflows with blessings. In other words, we got everything we need. Surely your goodness, one version says, and goodness and mercy, goodness and unfailing love. Well, what? Pursue me. See, it's not just stagnant, it's waiting for you to jump in the water. The water's actually following you. It's staying right with you. And it says it's going to do that all the days of our lives. And I'll live in the house of the Lord forever. Real quick, in the next 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to give you this. I promise I'll be quick. I'm not going to hold you over. But I'm going to give you six things today. Six things that we can understand that Jesus is our shepherd. And the shepherd does stuff for us. And I'm going to give you what it is and a verse for each one. If you're taking notes, you can always go on the live notes on the Bible app and hit save or add notes there, and it'll save you for it. But here goes six. The first one is, the shepherd provides. What does he provide? Everything. We just read it in Psalms. He provides shelter. He provides food. He provides comfort. He provides a place to belong. You know, that's one of the human needs that we really don't think about. There's a need in us. God put it in us to be a part of a team, to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. That's why we don't use the word volunteers. We use the word dream team, because we are being a part of something bigger than just one person. He provides. Look what the Bible says. Paul writes this in Philippians, and the same God who takes care of me will supply what? All my needs. Because you deserve it? No. Because you earned it? No. Why? How does he supply it? Because he's that good from all his riches. How do we have access to those? Here we go. Because Jesus gave it to us. Jesus gave us that access. Look, this is an extra verse for this one. It says, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry. I read this week. What does he fill us with? Come on, it's on the screen behind me. He fills us with. Do you ever notice that he could fill us with a lot of stuff? As parents, we tell our kids, you got to eat right. You know, eat your broccoli, and then you can have dessert. As parents, we could, and I laugh at Melanie when the oldest of three, and when she was little, before her brothers came along, her mom went through a health phase where he's like eating, you know, like all the cereal tastes like dirt, you know, zero sugar, zero artificial. You know, Melanie used to get made fun of at school when they would go to school. Back in the day, guys, you could go to school and you could trade lunch. Anybody remember that? Like you had a Twinkie, you could, you know, trade it for an oatmeal cream pie or a Krispy Kreme donut or what else? Oh, a Starburst. I mean, it's not Starburst, Star Crunch. And we could trade those out. Melanie didn't get to that. Nobody wanted to trade with Melanie because she had like a Stardust, you know. It was terrible. But her mom would fill her with stuff, but it wasn't. So God had the opportunity. He could just sustain us and just keep us alive. But I don't think that's what he wants for us. I think as good as we think we may have it, that there's always more. As you guys who are showing sheep and showing lambs, you always want to make that thing better. You want it to present better. You want it to behave better. You could just throw it out there in the field, make sure it's got some grass and water, and it's going to be alive, but it's not the good stuff. I'm amazed at what people spend on animals to feed them. You know, there's commercials on TV now for, hey, I'm going to feed my dog this food, and the person comes in, hey, what's in the refrigerator? Why do you keep dog food in there? You know, and they argue about the expensive food. See, God's not trying to parse that out. He says, everything I have, here's Jesus, and I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to provide everything. So the shepherd provides. The next thing is the shepherd restores. If you were the sheep that got out of the fence and was off by yourself, you would want the shepherd to do what first? Not come find you, but what if he never realizes you're gone? He can't come find you until he realizes you're gone. It's like I said with our kids, if you got two or three kids and you say, oh, one's gone, we're batting 50-50. No. I lost Emma in the airport one time. LAX. The commuter, Terminal T, and then there's like 60 gates down there. Melanie went to the bathroom. I looked down. My 3-year-old, who likes to talk to everybody, is gone. We're at gate 50. She's down at gate like 58 talking to some old man. There's nothing in me that said, I don't need to bring her back into the family. She'll be all right. Maybe that guy will feed her, take care of her. No, I went and got her. Brought her back. Why? Because that's what the shepherd does. He restores us to our rightful place that the enemy tries to convince us you're not worthy of. That you are the son and daughter of God. You were created by God. No matter what science or the world tries to tell you, we didn't come from a mud puddle and you're not an accident, even if you were an accident. There's a lot of us who say, well, my mom and dad didn't mean to have me. Well, I don't think God was caught off surprise, but he restores us. Look what it says in 1 Peter 5. It says he'll restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on what? A firm foundation. He doesn't just throw you out there. Throw you out to this uncomfortable place where you can't feel stable. He restores you to your rightful place. The next thing the shepherd does is the shepherd leads. Why? Because we need somebody to follow. We need a God in front of us saying, hey, walk this way. If you read through the book of Psalms and Proverbs, the Bible says, hey, this is the way, follow it, right? This is the way, let's go that way. Stay out of trouble. Let's go that way and not find ourselves in a mess. Jesus talks about it in John chapter 10. It says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep do what? They recognize his voice. He calls the sheep by name. Again, before he can call you by name, he has to know who you are and know your name. There's something in us, again. I have a friend of mine that wrote a book, and in the book he talks about that the way we know we're successful as it's a book to pastors, as pastors, is that we're helping people feel like they're known and loved. In other words, known means we know as a group when you're not here, and we love you, and we're serving you, and we're a part of your life. Because a lot of times people will tell me, hey, nobody called me. I was gone for 3 weeks. Well, my question to you is to you then, what group are you a part of? Are you in a grow group? If nobody's calling you, then you're not known. And if you're not known, you play part in that. You need to get in a grow group. You need to be known so that other people can help you. It says that he walks ahead of them and they follow his voice and they won't follow the voice of a stranger. So the shepherd leads. The next one, the shepherd supports. Because if you've not had this time in your life, you will. If you're not saved and you don't know about this Jesus thing, we all come to this point. It's not a salvation matter because once you're saved, God's here. But there's also a time when you're going to feel like you're alone and nobody can help you. The Bible says of Jesus that he supports us. How? Because in 1 Timothy 4, Paul's talking about this. He says, everyone abandoned me. Everybody. And we talked last week, we serve Jesus who very much understands what it's like to have everybody walk away. And Paul says even this, may it not be counted against them. In verse 17. So he's telling people, hey, y'all all walked away from me, but I want to treat you like God told me to treat you. He said, but the Lord, everybody left me, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength. So he's there, but he also is twofold. Why is he doing it? He goes, because other people need to know what I know. Other people need to know about Jesus, my shepherd. Because the shepherd supports. Here lately, I feel like the next one, Jesus has been doing this for me. So he supports, but he also defends. He defends me physically, as you can kind of hear. I believe in he's... He defends me mentally. He defends me eternally because he's the only way to heaven. And how did he do that? It's what we're talking about in Easter. In John 10:11, the good shepherd does what? Sacrifices his life. He laid it all down for me. He laid it all down for you. As husbands, the Bible says we're supposed to treat our wives as Christ did the church. Well, what did Christ do for the church? He laid it down. He put them first. He put us first. The shepherd defends. The shepherd gets out in front. I'll put it this way. You can think about it this way. Jesus stepped in between me and everything I deserve. Because what I deserve was not Jesus. What you deserve was not Jesus. But Jesus said, no, I'm not going to let you have that. I'm going to step in. I'm going to give you grace and mercy, and I'm going to take the punishment for what you deserve. That he defends us. And there's the next one. The shepherd blesses. This is the shepherd. This is back to the showing goats and sheep and lambs. And this is y'all feeding the good stuff. They survive off grass, right? If you've had any horses or cows, they can survive off grass. But especially with horses, you get something sweet, some oats and stuff. Those animals go nuts. I had my lab that we recently lost. She was 10, and even in her older age, the dog loved eggs. If she heard us pop open eggs or unwrap cheese, she was coming. That was our blessing her, the good stuff. The Bible says of us in Hebrews 13:20, that the God of peace, who brought Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of us, the sheep, he ratified the eternal covenant. And look at this in verse 21. That may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you through what? The power of Jesus, our shepherd, every good thing that is pleasing to him. The Bible says, I'll bless you, but when I bless you, I'm giving you blessing because through you, by the power of Jesus, you can do something in somebody else's life. This is why I keep telling people, everything you do here on Sunday morning, you just showing up, you never know the blessing it puts in somebody else's life. You sitting beside somebody, you serving in the nursery, in the tech booth, greeters and ushers. Your blessing, the blessing on you, the Bible says, is pleasing to God. Why? Because he's all about serving his sheep. Did you remember what he told Peter? Peter said, he said to Peter, if you love me, do what? Feed what? My sheep. He said, oh, I love you. I love you, Jesus. No, 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 you're not hearing me. If you love me, then feed my sheep. If you love me, then do what's important. Because that's what's important to us. Jesus is our shepherd, but he's also our example. Usher, you guys can do your thing. The Bible's very clear that for us, he said, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to defend you. I'm going to be there when the mess happens. Not too long ago, Mel and I were sitting in the office talking, and we were talking about you guys. We really do talk about all of y'all a lot. Where you are, where you've been, how you're doing, how can we help in a big sense? And as we began to talk, I began to realize the things that I'm telling you, what Jesus is. Because the Bible says of me as a pastor, the technical term, they'll call it an under-shepherd. Now, granted, I'm way down the line. But I still have responsibility to do everything that I just told you. And we really have sat and began to talk about how can we do this? Because we're growing. There's new people. More people, more kids. How do we help support the dream team? How do we help make sure that you know that you're loved and known? And it felt like we had to have a response. It felt like we had to come up with an answer. And at the time, we kind of walked away like, yeah, I really don't know the answer. I don't know what the one thing we could do is. But as I was praying this morning, Henry, you can go ahead. Y'all help him out. Hold on, let me fix it. Play. There you go. There we go. What was the one thing I could tell you? What was the one thing I could tell you that if you would just do this, help your life. But even bigger than that, remember, we're helping other people take one step. This is what I came up with. Just know the shepherd. Just know the shepherd. Said last week he should be your friend. You should get to know him. And when you do, you're going to learn he's a shepherd. And you're going to learn all that he has for you. You're going to learn every his character, what he's like, what he feels like, what it sounds like. It may be foreign to some of you to go, oh, wow. I felt like God was leading me something. I felt like he was telling me something. It's not super spiritual. It's just who God is. He talks to you. He leads you. When you and us, the dumb sheep, are heading toward the gate, and on the other side of that gate is something that will eat you, what does God do? Shut the gate. When you're kids, I did this as a kid, and I remember my grandmother grabbing me. My grandfather was an electrician, so I saw my grandfather take objects and stick them into outlets. So what was I about to do? Butter knife, about the same size, 3 or 4 years old. And I remember going over to do it. My grandmother never, ever raised her voice at us. And she did, we knew we were in trouble. And I remember her raising her voice and snatching it. She was protecting me. How did I know the shepherd? I knew her. I knew her voice. You bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to read this last verse to you. Then we're going to pray and sing one more song. This is John 10:14. Jesus is saying this, that I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. And God, I thank you this morning that with all our heads bowed and our eyes closed, God, that we are known by you. God, I also know there's some in the room and maybe online who can't say the second part of this verse, that they know of you, but they don't know you. God, this morning I ask that you just knock on hearts. If you're here this morning and it's new to you and you feel that, hey, something's strange, the Bible says that God knocks on the door of your heart. He just knocks until you open the door. And God, my prayer this morning is that we hear and respond. We respond to your voice. The Bible says this, that it's simply knowing, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth who Jesus is. Everything we said today, the Son of God came for me, died for me, rose for me, paid the price for me. The Bible says when you pray that prayer to God and say, God, I'm sorry for not getting it right. A quiet prayer right there where you are. Salvation is yours. God, I thank you for that. Thank you for those responding today, knowing you as my shepherd. God, we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you stand with me if you will? That was you this morning. You prayed that. There's the QR code. You can do it or take the card and you can fill that card out. Just let us know. We want to send you some next steps. During this last song, remember, never leave here feeling like I need somebody to pray with me. Over to my right, your left. I think David and Sherry will be over here. Don't ever leave without desire to have somebody else know what's going on in your life. That's God. That's God encouraging, hey, let somebody else believe with you. We're going to sing one more song, and I'm going to bless you, and then we'll go enjoy our week. God, I thank you for being so good to us. God, I thank you for strength and life and health. God, health in my throat, health in my voice. God, that we leave here today knowing you're my friend, God, and knowing your voice as our shepherd. And we thank you for it now, that you're worthy of our worship, you're worthy of the time, you're worthy of all the effort. Because God, you gave us everything in your Son, Jesus. And I thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,